Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who used his position as a governor in Krishnanagar. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur arranged for a train to come to, so that people could come to Mayapur, and Bhakti Thakur arranged for a road to go, and Srila Prabhupada arranged for us to come. Hare Krishna. Now we have safely arrived at this holy place where Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur stayed and wrote many of his transcendental books. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very important for us members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness for at least three reasons. One reason is that he really is a transcendental pioneer in spreading Krishna consciousness at a time which was quite difficult. We also are in a time progression, Kali Yuga, where we can learn a lot from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Another reason is that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw the divine birthplace or appearance place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and by making this place available for our vision and our visit, he has given the Vaishnava world a huge amount of inspiration and the source of strength. For us, as Vaishnavas, we derive great strength from visiting the Yoga Pit where Mahaprabhu appeared. Yet another reason for Srila Bhaktivinoda's speciality is that he gave an example of a great Vaishnava in the modern times who used the Grihastha ashram to spread Krishna consciousness in great ways. I know that many of the devotees who are visiting today this holy place are having one foot in the world, because as Grihasthas, the dharma is to engage in making money, and another foot in the temple, and their mind also in the temple. Now, after having heard how important Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, there are many, many more reasons. Let us hear a little bit about his birth, about the time of his education. Let us hear also patiently about his glorious Grihastha ashram. Let us hear something about his Namhatta program, his vision, his literature, his taking Vesh, that is, renouncing the world, and maybe we will hear a little of his disappearance pastimes. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was appearing in a very interesting cultural background. His forefathers date back to the kings of Bengal, and he was born in a very aristocratic family. He describes in his autobiography about his unusual ancestors. His grandfather called him one day and he came, and then the grandfather, who was a great yogi, said, "My dear Kedarnath, become a great devotee. I bless you." And then the grandfather closed his eyes and he left his body right before the child Bhaktivinoda through his Brahmarandra chakra. That was the grandfather of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I will go now, but I bless you, become a great devotee of the Lord. Then, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was married at a young age. He was about 10 years old, and he describes that his wife was much younger. Looking back to his marriage, he said it was a doll's marriage. Sometimes, maybe our young girls remember, not too long back, they had dolls, and they said, now you marry him, and, you know, they made like a doll's marriage. So this is how he felt. It was a doll's marriage. He was, later, his village in which he grew up was visited by pestilence, and the pestilence took much of the neighbors away and destroyed the beauty of the village. As a young man of only 17 years, he wrote a wonderful poem about this. It's called The Deserted Village. Very moving poem, The Deserted Village. He left this village by a boat and looked back and saw on this village which was dying before his eyes from the epidemic of pestilence, and created a deep impression in him about how temporary everything in this world is. Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to Calcutta, where he was educated by a big writer. It was one of his uncles who had his own newspaper for the intelligentsia of Bengal, and he read that and helped him edit the newspaper at a very young age. And he described that whenever he had time, he went into the vast library of his intellectual uncle and virtually devoured all of this literature which he found there. Later he describes that I was taking mundane knowledge. This is like a donkey who carries heavy burdens with him. He described like this in his songs. So you can imagine Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by training his intellect at a very young age and becoming an editor of an intellectual magazine, developed an intellectual capacity which is extraordinary. And therefore, he was recognized by the British government and was given government service, in which he did also extraordinary work. He started the school system in Orissa, and he became very active. The British Rajas recognized him soon and made him the governor of Jagannath Puri. First activity in Puri was that he took care that all the 64 offerings to Lord Jagannath were made on time. That's the first thing he took care of, really. And then he established in Puri what is known as the Bhakti Mandap. It was in a hall adjacent to the main temple. There every day Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave a lecture on the Bhakti Shastras. And one day he was lecturing there. Some devotees were around him. This is what he did besides his government duties. And the king of Puri came into this Bhakti Mandap, but he did not pay obeisances. It was almost, you can imagine, as if we are sitting here and then very influential man of Bombay, political wise, he came and he just looked, didn't make an obeisance and just went. Bhaktivinoda Thakur stopped his lecture and said, our king does not know to respect the king of kings, Lord Jagannath. And this was a heavy strike against the false ego of the king. The king felt a little uneasy anyways with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur's character was impeachable. There was an attempt to bribe him, but he neglected it. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur watched very carefully the treasury of Lord Jagannath. Now the king had taken money from this treasury for his own purposes. And now, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur had told him, "You are a king in name only," the king was totally upset. "This Bhaktivinoda Thakur is dangerous for me." And he went and got a group of tantric priests who made a yajna for 3 months to ghosts and spirits, which would be called and then chased against Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because the king understood, this personality is, I can't bribe him, offer him also a little money, and then he is silent, like it is done in the corrupt politics all over the world. I can't do this with him. I must get rid of him, otherwise he is already indicating that he is not bowing down to me. This is terrible. So after 3 months of shouting Swaha and, you know, getting all these bad spirits against Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a tragic death took place, but not of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but of the son of the king, the next king. Lord Jagannath protected Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In Puri, there are many leelas which took place. The most mentionable leela is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur took the influence of this yogi Bhishvakshen. Bhishvakshen proclaimed that he is God, and he printed a leaflet which he distributed all throughout the villages of Orissa, that on such and such date in December, Mahavishnu, the great Bhishvakshen, will come and kill all the Europeans and sit on the throne of Jagannath. Hare Krishna. That was what he said. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was requested, "Can you please do something against this person?" So when he came to the place where there was a temple built for this so-called Mahavishnu, he heard more and more about the improprieties. He heard that from aristocratic men or all types of men, "My wife is coming once a month to this yogi to dance the rasa dance with him, and I don't have a good feeling about it." There were many things like this. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur became determined, "I will stop the activities of this bogey." So he came one night into the association, and at that time Mr. Rascal he saw that a great devotee of Lord Jagannath was coming, and he's, in order to bewilder him, he said, "Oh, you have come. Your name is Kedarnath, isn't it?" He could read the unknown. "Oh yes," said Kedarnath, "I have come to ask you a few questions." "So ask anything. Do you want anything from me? I can manifest anything to you." He was more powerful than the person whose name we don't mention, but who sometimes hear about with the Ash miracles. And he showed many things, like he leaned into the fire and was not burned. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "Don't try to impress me. You are doing social improprieties. You call yourself God. Why? There is only one Jagannath, and you are the servant." At this, the yogi looked at him, and all of a sudden, fire came from his hair. "Don't try to impress me. You will get a fair hearing at the court." And he waved back, and 10 and 100 policemen came, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "Come with me." So Mr. Reskov was thinking, should I try to burn now someone? But he understood, this person is protected by Lord Jagannath. So he went on the bullock cart and rode with Bhaktivinoda Thakur to Puri. And he told him, why do you make trouble for me? I'm just trying to drive out the British tyrants from India. You just work with me together. We will be glorious. Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't even listen. So when they arrived in Puri, he was imprisoned, and Bhaktivinoda went home, and he did every day a court session against with him, and more of sexual crimes and just very bad things came to light. But more and more, this yogi used his power to put pressure on Bhaktivinoda Thakur. His youngest daughter, Kamala, became sick with some typhoid fever. And the mother was telling Bhaktivinoda Thakur, please, our child is brought to death. Give up the persecution of this yogi. We can't do anything against him. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, even if I and my whole family is put to ruin, we cannot tolerate the blasphemy against the Lord. Next morning, Bhaktivinoda Thakur felt so sick that he had to be carried on a palanquin, and his whole left side was paralyzed. He was brought to court, but his determination was undaunted. And they again brought this Mr. Reskov to him. And this time Bhaktivinoda Thakur had made a plan. He had told the doctor of the prison, Mr. Walters, to jump from behind the yogi and give him a quick haircut and take all the long hair away. And at that moment, the power of the yogi crashed like a cart house. Ping! And he became bereft of all his strengths, because the yogis have their power in the hair, the devotees have their power in the heart, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides. That's the difference. But it was not easy. There were constant demonstrations before the prison, let Mr. Reskov be free, and slogans against Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but he would not give in. And finally, by Krishna's mercy, Mr. Reskov chose the easy solution for this dilemma. He just drank a cup of poison and killed himself in the prison. So this is one of the stories which tells us one aspect of the great acharyas. Their only protection is Krishna. Their only purpose in life is Krishna. And they never, ever compromise. This is what we can certainly learn from this. Even the king had to bow down before Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Even the yogi, worldly and mystical powers cannot attack the devotee. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur rose a rather large family, but at the same time, he had a very disciplined schedule. And in order to catch the attention of even the most tired Vaishnava or Vaishnavi, I want to introduce you to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's schedule, so that you know what Acharya teaches when it comes to the point, never waste time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur came from court around 6 o'clock. He would then take a shower, take a light meal consisting of one chapati and a little buttermilk and a little sabji, and then was translating books from Sanskrit into Bengali so that people could read it. Around 8 o'clock he felt a little tired and went to bed and slept up till 10 o'clock. Then he got up at 10 o'clock and wrote throughout the night his own literature. Srila Prabhupada also wrote sometimes from 12 o'clock in these night hours when it was peaceful. He took a long time to prepare his works, who were very carefully following the line of the acharyas. Radhanath Maharaj told me that this Navadvip Dham Mahatmya is following very strictly Bhakti Ratnakar. All his works, and he wrote well above 100 books, original writing, which he wrote in his own creative way, were very much following Shastra, very, very much. So he wrote up till around 4 o'clock, and then he went, when he was here, he went into this tiny little room. Have you seen, when you walked up the stairs, a little room which seemed to be so small? There he went and chanted the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. With great calling and longing he called. Sometimes when he was tired, he had a chair made of bricks and cement here in this room, and he also called there. And his neighbor, which lived here, told one of Prabhupada's godbrothers how Bhaktivinoda Thakur chanted. It was like calling, addressing the Lord, calling for the Lord in a very plaintive way. He was calling for the Lord. Then, around between 8 o'clock, he took a morning shower. Then, from 8:30, he received visitors. When there were no visitors, he answered his mail up till 9 o'clock. And then 9 o'clock, he would go to his balcony and walk up and down the balcony. And what did he do? He thought. He only thought very deeply how to spread the mission of Krishna consciousness and how to express things in a way that even the Western mind could understand it. He had studied, as I told you, all this literature, and he knew all the Western philosophers. He understood them. And he then thought very deeply how to express things. Have you ever read Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Those of you who have noticed how the books contain very deep thoughts, and they seem to just speak to one's thinking. Some of my older godbrothers who read Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who are Westerners, this is a secret, they say it speaks so much to my heart, it seems he understands my Western thought. He is a very genius preacher, so he thought. By the way, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur inherited this from his family. He also took 1.5 hours walking on the balcony, back and forth, and Prabhupada said, I could not keep up when I was with him. He walked so fast and thought, wow, how to express this, how to preach this. Our Prabhupada has also said, this was the instruction to us translators, don't change a word, he wrote his translators, because I'm thinking very deeply about each word, so that the people will properly understand and not misunderstand. This preaching in the line of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and our Srila Prabhupada, you need to learn the philosophy as they have presented it, to have that shakti of penetration. Then at 9 o'clock, he took a little meal consisting again of one chapatis, O prasadam lovers, a little sabji and a little buttermilk. He was extremely frugal in his eating. And then, after he had finished his eating, he took a rest for exactly 15 minutes. Not 16 and not 14, but 15. At 10 o'clock, he left his house and went into the court. And although he had worked so hard, he saw on one day 50 cases, and some of them he solved in 5 minutes. We have a legal personality here, our Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu knows, especially in India, how complicated sometimes things are, and how many parties have shared interest. I heard a small piece of land is owned sometimes by 42 parties, each one has 30 square centimeters, But Bhaktivinoda Thakur heard it, and with his transcendental intelligence, he immediately made his statement. This is how it should be done. And when there was protest, he said, you are lying. Why are you lying? This is not dharmic. It will not help you in your progressive path. The person who lied blushed. And because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so truthful and so of high moral integrity, you didn't want to lie before him. So the Englishmen were astonished. He is a better judge than anyone in our whole British government administration. So then at noontime he went home and he refreshed himself and took a little nap, and then again went to the court for a few hours and returned home between 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Every day he would do it, and it is described he carried a stopwatch in his pocket to just measure the time so that he would use it properly in Krishna's service. And at the same time he found time to raise 11 illustrious children, one of whom is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, whom Bhaktivinoda Thakur personally trained by taking him with him on his preaching tours. He also developed a fantastic preaching plan which is known as the Namhatta program. I feel that most of our Radha Gopinath devotees are beneficiaries of this preaching plan. Namhatta program followed Lord Nityananda's idea or method, and in short he established little groups all over Bengal who practiced the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote the songs for these groups and told his men, sing it in the melodies of the bowls. See, many of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs are sung in beautiful melodies, and these are melodies which are taken from the bowls. The bowls are something like the Rolling Stones of Bengal. You know, just lesser fair men who were gypsies and who sang beautiful songs and went from village to village and had charisma to capture the village people and the village culture. He took those melodies, and I think it is a very important principle of Yukta Vairagya to take cultural specialities and then use them in Krishna's service. In ISKCON we also do this. For instance, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So, this Namhatta movement spread like wildfire all throughout Bengal. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his diary how he visited once a Namhatta group. This Namhatta group had made a large propaganda that he was coming, and there were thousands and thousands of people who were convinced by the pure teachings of Mahaprabhu and who received Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he came. Then he delivered a lecture on the nectar of instruction, and then he sang his beautiful new song, he introduced a new song, and he started like a whole cultural revolution in Bengal. Even now in Bengal alone, we have, I do not know, last time when I was here, this was 3 years ago, we had 753 Namhatta centers, but I can imagine that by now it's well above 1,000. It's a wonderful scheme of organization and expansion. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had such a vision of spreading Mahaprabhu's mission that he would write and saying, oh, I long for the day, he would say, when the Russian people and the English people, the people from Germany, are coming together and singing together, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana. Srila Prabhupada fulfilled the vision of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, "Oh, for the day when the judge in the high court will have a tilak on his head, I think he would be so pleased to see a devotees of Mahaprabhu with tilak." Yes, this was all his vision, this was all his desire. And he said, "Oh, for the day when the whole world will gather under the banner, you know, the flag of Mahaprabhu." This was his vision and his desire. There is much to be said about his literature and his writing, but I rather would like to let some of his writing speak directly to your heart. We will take a little from his Siddhi Lalasa, Hankering for Spiritual Perfection, which is taken from a compilation of songs called Charanagati. This is very, very good for us to hear who are on Navadvip Dham Parikrama. Listen to his longings for perfection and try to also think a little bit like this, because he's writing in our mood. Here come some good desires which we can cultivate on this journey. "When will I wander, weeping under the shade of various trees and creepers, on the banks of the Ganges in the land of Navadvip, crying, 'O Radha, O Krishna,' forgetting all physical comforts? I will even take my meals by begging at the homes of the Chandalas and will drink the water of the Saraswati. In ecstasy, I will roll on the ground along the banks of the river, raising an uproar of 'Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna,'
bowing down to the inhabitants of the holy land of Navadvip. I will beg a bit of their mercy. I will wear the dress of a mendicant and smear the dust of the Vaishnav's feet on my body." Yesterday I saw some intelligent Vaishnavas who walked behind wonderful Vaishnavas, took the dust and rubbed it on the head. And here, this should dispel the last doubt of our visitors who thought, "Should I be in inhabitants of Rajabhumi and those of Navadvip, and I will be transformed into a resident of Raj. The true nature of the Lord's abode will manifest itself to my eyes, and I will become a maidservant of Srimati Radharani." I must say, these desires are very high desires. I didn't read so carefully that, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur very often writes very much on our level. He said, "I have so many material desires. They are sitting like an arrow in my heart. And whenever I try to fulfill one desire, the next two desires are born. Where is solace for such a person as me?" And he writes, "Amar Jivana," Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, "Anyone who wants to practice humility, he must read this book, this song." We'll read a few lines from this. "I am an impious sinner and have caused others great anxiety and trouble. And then, devoid of compassion, concerned only with my own selfish interests, I am remorseful seeing others happy." Does it sound familiar?
Yeah.
"I am a perpetual liar." You know, if someone asks me, "How are you?" "Fine." "I'm not fine." "And the misery of others is a source of great pleasure for me." "Oh, did you hear? So and so is fallen." "Yeah, tell me more about his fallen nature." "The material desires within the core of my heart are unlimited. I am full of false pride and arrogance, and bewildered by worldly affairs. Envy and egoism are the ornaments I wear. Not pavitras, envy! That's the ornament. Ruined by laziness and sleep, I resist all pious deeds. No. Yet I'm very active and enthusiastic to perform wicked acts. For worldly fame and reputation, I engage in the practice of deceitfulness. Whew. I am destroyed by my own greed, and I'm always lustful. And then in utter surrender he says, O Gopinath, Lord of the Gopis, please hear my prayer. Let us say this. O Gopinath,
Lord of the Gopis,
please hear my prayer.
I'm
a materialistic rascal.
Always full of lust.
I have no good qualification.
O Gopinath,
you are my only resort.
As your eternal servant,
I take shelter of your lotus feet. And many, many more such wonderful songs he has left, which speak directly to us. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a ceaseless preacher by both example and precepts. Finally, however, he felt his last days would come. And therefore, he went to Gorkhishodas Babaji. Gorkhishodas Babaji would often come here and stay in this place here where the house is. And he would listen to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's readings and lectures, and sometimes he would cry with tears of ecstasy. He would only come, listen very carefully in a remote place. Sometimes he would sleep here, and then he would disappear into Navadvip. He was not associating much, but he would always come and listen from this Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So finally, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to take Babaji and renounce the world. It was in his last, before he left. So he went to Kulia to visit Gorkhishodas Babaji in the Rani Damshala and asked him. But Gorkhishodas Babaji, by his extra sensual perception, could know that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was coming to him, asking for the initiation, and he felt himself so unqualified, and he was worried, where shall I go, where shall I hide? Then he went into the house of a prostitute. Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked everyone, where is Gorkhishodas Babaji? Tell me, where is Gorkhishodas? Many places were given, maybe here, maybe there. He searched all over Navadvip, but he could not find Gorkhishodas Babaji. Gorkhishodas Babaji was shackling in the evening. He's so intelligent. But I have tricked him. This is the only place where Bhaktivinoda Thakur would never go because of his moral integrity. He was so integral that even the Englishmen, who are not known for piety, they're just respecting him, just for his exemplary behavior. So finally, Bhaktivinoda Thakur met Gorkhishodas Babaji, then he continued to see people, an endless amount of people, and seeing them only for the last few hours, or over the 24 hours, as far as... No, for 6 months he went to Puri
and practiced bhajans and his doors were closed. He was with Radha and Krishna. Then he would go again back to Bhakti Bhavan in Calcutta and see many, many people. And just before his departure, he closed the doors again and entered early in the morning hour into Samadhi to join his beloved lords of his heart. So this is the house here, and we can so much learn from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. If we want to just to have it simple and just concentrate our minds, I would recommend you, please pray here for strength in your own personal preaching mission and execution of Krishna consciousness. Please, this is a good place to chant, to pray for the strength to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with purity and concentration. These are two things which I could recommend, and then you might pray for other things as well. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki
jai.
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Gau Premani Hari Bol.
In our life, the blessings of the great acharyas never fail, but we must come in a utterly humble state, like a beggar, seeking those blessings, with the willingness to sacrifice our egoistic motivations in life, to take the dust of the lotus feet of the great souls by following their teachings. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur systematically presented Krishna consciousness in such a way in which people of all classes throughout the world can understand and accept. And through his divine son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and our own beloved Guru Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we are being given this opportunity. Let us pray today to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that with his help and blessings we can wholeheartedly accept that opportunity as our life and soul. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki
jai.